Thank you very much indeed. Oh, you're marvellous. Thank you. Yes. Yes, please, please. There's no need to prostrate yourselves. It's okay. But welcome, anyway, to the Watershed Theatre here in Bristol, where we are about to play our natural history game in which the spoils for the victor are... Yes, that indeed is the electromagnetic conch shell that our two teams are after. And on this occasion, they break down according to gender, if you don't mind my mentioning it. On my far left, a zoologist from King's College on the other side of Waterloo Bridge, that's Mike Stoddart. And with Mike, somebody who seems to have broadcast over the years from every single part of the world, Johnny Morris. And ranged against Johnny and Mike, an expert on seals from the frontier town of Cambridge, Sheila Anderson. And with Sheila, a fellow mum who stars in her own one-person shows and who has just got a new book of poems out, that is Pan Air. Well, today, then, it is the ladies against the gents, as you can see, and I dare say you're wondering if that will affect the rules. So, to round one, and the first question is to you, Mike. Mike, which Madagascan mammal would do well in the Navy?
The lemur?
No, I don't think so, no. No, I can't see the lemur in the Navy, really.
The aye aye.
Yes, Johnny Morris coming in there. Well done, Johnny. Excellent. So that's 12 points to the boys to start with. Sheila, what insect can't make up its mind?
A hoverfly?
Well, you could have that.
Yes,
it's not very good, but...
I think it's brilliant.
If the worst comes to the worst, we'll accept it. Pam, what little tunneler has a reputation for leaking? What little tunneler has a reputation for leaking? Thank you.
Naughty boy.
Yes.
Yeah. They are about, aren't they? Quite a lot of them.
I haven't got a clue, dear.
Haven't you got a clue, dear? Well, think of something that tunnels under the ground and puts up little mounds.
And they only work during the lunch hour.
A mole, yes, yeah.
Oh,
what
is it? A leak.
Yes, a leak, yes.
I still haven't registered.
No.
Moles, you know.
Well, I don't expect a lot is going to, but we will do our best.
Oh,
we'll do our best during the show.
Oh, espionage.
I'll explain it to you in about 27 minutes' time when it's all over and done with. Yes, a mole. Is a person who leaks.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Paddy, yes.
Johnny, which fruit of a tree hurts your foot?
Which fruit of a tree hurts
your foot?
I say. Which tree of a fruit hurts my foot?
Which fruit of an oak tree hurts your foot?
Acorn.
Acorn, I suppose. One for anybody. Anybody wants to have a go? Which mammal's terribly dreary?
Not a sloth.
No, that'd be lazy, wouldn't it? Anybody in the audience?
A boar.
Yes, thank you. A gentleman there in the third row. Young gentleman. Well done. Yes. Right. What a bird do you pursue in your leisure time?
This is general.
Hobby.
Yes. Anybody can answer these. Or can't answer them. What sea creature has a deep voice? Anybody?
A bass,
yes. What plant raises cash to buy a meal?
Sell and dine.
Oh. It's right. Right, that's the end of round one, and we're going across now to the basement studio to see how our guest celebrity feels about the job of keeping the score, Peter.
Here you have something which is action the whole time.
That's true.
And the great advantage, I think, for me is that it stretches me in a different direction.
Don't quite know what he means there. Anybody got any ideas, like to send them in on a postcard, that's fine. Meanwhile, we've got some general knowledge Q's and A's coming up. And, Pam, the first one is for you. Pam, is a hellebore an extremely tedious person?
No, it's a flower.
That's right. Can you tell me anything more about it?
I think it blooms in the winter.
That's right.
In the snow.
Yes.
And I had some in my garden. And they were the envy of my mother-in-law. I can't think of anything else to tell you except they are rather nice.
Yes. Do you know what family they belong to?
A winter hellebore. No, I'm afraid I don't.
Well, it's a buttercup family, but I think you've done brilliantly there.
Oh, they've got a nice frill around their neck, haven't they?
Yes. Are we talking about your mother-in-law?
No, no, no. They're the winter hellebore.
Aren't they called the Christmas rose,
Pam? I think they are.
Christmas rose, yes.
Thank you, John.
But you can have a Lenten rose as well, which is the same family. I'll go on helleboring you for a long time.
Mike.
Yes, Paddy.
Mike, if someone told you that islands off the coast of Peru were covered in guanaco, would you be surprised?
No, I wouldn't be very surprised.
You'd be properly in it, wouldn't you?
Probably. No, the other sort of guanaco. No, I wouldn't be surprised because that's where they come from, and they've got four legs and a long neck. We're talking about the guanaco, which is a sort of wild llama.
Yes.
Member of the camel family.
That's right.
Blooms in both the winter and the summer.
It's also known as the Christmas rose. You're Sheila, right. Where would you find Olive Ridley at loggerheads with leatherbacks?
Oh, in the sea.
Yeah.
And they'd all be turtles. Is that all you want to know?
Well, I'd like a little bit more about them, if that's all right. I mean, how does the loggerhead get its name? Do you know?
I don't know, actually, so I'll
well,
give it a guess.
Well, it's the shape of its head.
I was going to say the shape of its head.
Yeah.
That's very good, Paddy.
And do you know why the leatherback is called a leatherback?
Well, it's got a sort of leathery back.
That's right, yes. Johnny, which animal goes in for stink fights?
Stink fights. Well, you can have weasels and stoats and all the mustelidae.
Yes. Well, there is one particular animal which is known for its stink fights.
It can't be a lemur, can it?
It can, yes.
It can, yeah.
I wonder how you knew that.
Well, I don't know. I've had a lot to do with lemurs, but they never told me, because I probably stunk worse than they did.
Yes, they have scent glands on their forearms and shoulders, and they come from Madagascar. Right, some more quick ones which are open to anybody. Where would you find a tufted tit tyrant?
A what?
Where would you find a tufted tit tyrant?
On a very, very hairy lady, I suppose.
Anybody know? In South America, it is a bird. It's a bird in South... which member of the nightshade family do you find in a salad? That, I think, is quite interesting, actually.
Tomato.
That is right, yes. And never knew it. It's a member of the nightshade family.
Yes, there's a potato, and there's tobacco. And if you could grow all three together, well, perhaps that's for the end of the programme.
Yes. What does a sheep have that no other animal has?
Wool.
There's a young gentleman in the third... There's a lady here as well. Lambs is right. Oh, thank you.
Not true. Not true.
But that brings us by process of serendipity, whatever that means, to some sounds. It's what we call our sign brain. And Mike Stollart, we'll start with the signs for Mike. I think that's enough of that.
Well, it sounds a bit like a twittering, so it's got to be a bird. Or many birds. Many birds? No? No birds. It's not a bird. No, it's not a bird.
No, there's no doubt about it. It's not a bird.
I don't know why you lot don't come up here on the stage. And we'll sit and watch you. Yes.
It must be a bat, then. So many people raising their wings in the audience. No?
Yes, the audience knows all about this
one. Well, the audience will have to tell us.
They even know that it comes from South America, originally. Guinea pigs, yes, guinea pigs. Yes,
never ever kept guinea pigs, you see.
No. That was the sound of a guinea pig. Childhood. Now, Sheila, what is this the sound of?
Well, it's a bird.
Yes.
And it sounds like one of those sort of seabirdy type things.
Yes.
It's a storm petrel.
Well, it's a petrol. It's a leech's petrol.
Oh, leech's petrol. Oh, I know. Leech's petrol. Sorry, I should know that.
Yes.
I should know that because I spend a lot of time on the island of North Rona, which is one of the foremost breeding sites. Unfortunately, I don't go there till October when the main breeding, of course, is over. But you do still find the chicks there at that time, and they're lovely. They're little grey balls of fluff with a beak and a pair of beady eyes, and they're absolutely gorgeous. But that's an adult call.
They're going at 5 pence a gallon, I guess.
That's right. Yeah. So we'll come on to your sound, and I hope and pray you don't get it. Here we go. Oh. That's too much for him.
That wasn't enough.
Yeah, it was. Go on.
Well, all right. We are into the world, I would imagine, here, mammals, monkeys.
No.
No, no, right, right, we're in the pinnipeds.
Well, you may have.
Are we in the pinnipeds?
No,
we're not in the pinnipeds.
No, I don't think so.
No, we're not in the pinnipeds.
You're okay.
Then I don't know.
Well, you should do.
Should I?
Yes, it's a very common animal.
Those are, of course, found in the forests.
Yes.
And they are pack animals. And, of course, that's their way of signalling and so on.
I've never seen one carry anything at all, I must say.
No. Well, they don't need to, really. But there's the wolves.
They are wolves, yes, yeah. Yes, yes. Amazing how suddenly you seem to realise the right answer.
I know, yeah.
With Mike Stoddart sitting immediately next door to you. So,
Told Mike Stoddart.
Well, perception it is.
You're not supposed to. You're supposed to be on opposite sides, you see.
I thought it was us against you.
No.
Okay, Pam Ayres, here's a sound for you.
I think it is that most beauteous of birds, the rook.
Cool, I don't think so.
Oh, is it then the most beauteous of birds, the crow?
It is. we've got some conch cookery coming up now, and this time you're going to need your buzzers. Johnny and Mike look like this. And Sheila and Pam resemble this. And I do mean resemble in Sheila's case. So, very quickly, the first person to buzz gets the first chance to answer. What do you get? You get the first chance. Okay, who eats witchetty grubs? That was Pam.
The Aborigine population of Australia.
They do indeed, and you get full marks there. What is rock tripe? Actually, I shall have to tell you this, because the gentleman in the third row doesn't know on this occasion. Rock tripe is a strange lichen.
Oh.
Ah, it says here, which grows on rocks and walls in Western Britain, which is exciting. Which delicacies were hung from the ceiling in pots until fat enough to eat? And that's Mike Stoddart.
That was the dormouse, the Roman dormouse.
Yes.
Edible dormouse.
And they used just to hang them up, did they, in little pots?
The little pots were called glieraria, and when you wanted to cook them, you just took down the pot and put it in the fire, so you can cook the whole thing. Because they hibernate. Horrible, isn't it? But you see, they hibernate, and it was a source of fresh meat in the winter.
Sorry, Johnny Morris wants to make a joke.
No, I don't. What about the glieraria? Because him in the glieraria was the glistlis, wasn't he?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I wish I knew what you two were talking about. I know.
Well, we know. But
yeah. What is ahugutl? Ahugutl. The producer tells me it's called ahugutl. And she also says it comes from Mexico.
Ahugutl. South America.
Central America.
Yeah.
To be accurate, yes. Ahugutl.
Well, I'll just have a go at it. It's either something like chocolate or cascara, one or the other. Something like that.
No, it's a cake, and it's made out of... Oh, this is yucky. It's made out of water bugs' eggs. Isn't that revolting? Isn't that
yeah.
Who eats a soup of hardened bird saliva?
Oh.
And that, in fact, well, Mike or Johnny, whichever, because you both pressed about the same time.
The Chinese?
Hmm.
Yes.
They eat these swifts' nests that they collect from caves and make birds' nests.
That's right.
I've never had it before.
And it is actually the bird saliva makes the soup so tasty. Okay, so will you please stay with your buzzers? But we're going on to some plants instead of some foods. Which plant is grown by frogs in Ireland? Well, on to puns, incidentally, as well. Yes, Sheila.
Toad flax.
Toad flax is right, well done. Which plant doesn't spend a lot?
Thrift.
Thrift is right, Johnny, yes. Which plant didn't have to pay to get in?
Could it be the comfrey?
That's right.
Oh,
very good.
Which plant goes with a large rooster?
Oh, hen's clump, hen's thing.
A fat hen,
a fat hen.
And finally, which plant is not at all fast?
Slow,
yes, okay, right. And I can tell you that, in fact, at this stage, the ladies are ahead, which is tremendous news. What about not there? Not only that, but also we can go across very quickly to the basement studio to get a quick reaction now from their team manager.
I want to thank my parents who've worked so hard and my coach Laurie, who was a female, would be here. And my grandfather, his sister, everybody.
Well, I've heard of extended families. That's ridiculous. Right, a chance now for the men to catch up with more about birds and more from the birds as well. Sheila, here's a sound for you. That's enough of that. Because you're just getting to the bit which has told you what bird it was.
Oh, what is it? Oh, I'm absolutely hopeless on this.
Enjoy this bit.
It's a British bird.
Oh, I love to see it suffer.
Oh, we'll have to guess here, I think. But I couldn't hear some more then, could I?
No, you couldn't. No, certainly not.
It seemed to have...
Absolutely
no
way.
It to be repeating two notes, which thrushes do that. But it didn't sound... Thrush? Yes?
What? Which kind of thrush?
It's a song or a missile thrush. Missile thrush is a little throatier, isn't it? Missile thrush.
No, song thrush.
Oh, oh, why does Laurie have
no marks at all there. No.
Oh,
well,
everybody's complaining.
And we go on now to Johnny Morris's bird.
I would get one like that, wouldn't I?
We thought
actually,
it was
the sound of somebody drinking. It wasn't an emu.
That's true.
An emu is... but it wasn't that.
No.
It was a watery one.
It was more...
That's right.
Well, if I gave you a quick clue...
Yeah.
Twice shy.
A bittern. Least, a booming bittern.
No, least bitten, twice shy. Least bitten.
Least bitten. Oh, it's a
yes.
Least... Oh,
Mike, here's one for you.
Yeah, well, this is... there are two possibilities in my mind at the moment. One is the curlew, and the other is the northern diver. And I leave it up to you to select which one you wish. I'll go for the northern diver.
I'm sorry, but I have been very, very strict on the two girls over here with the one that they had.
So we'll have the curlew.
So curlew is absolutely
curlew,
right. Yeah. And finally in this round, it's you, Pam.
I think it is that most beauteous of birds, the rook.
That's right. Well, so far we have been pretty serious, but this is where the whole thing is going to become very light-hearted and indeed not so farcical, because the teams are going to try to answer some specialist questions. And we start with Mike Stollard. Mike. This mammal was considered sacred by the Egyptians, and in fact it was depicted on tombs from 2800 BC. It's able to break open a bird's egg by throwing it between its legs onto a rock. What is it?
This is a mongoose. A mongoose, as in Rikki Tikki Tavi, that magnificent little mongoose. Tremendous. But the mongooses, we don't have in Europe at all any relatives thereof, except perhaps in the extreme south of France, south of Spain, I mean. And altogether, very nice little animals, and you can see that I know nothing at all about them. They make super pets.
The thing I don't know is why they want to throw birds' eggs about between their legs in that way.
Well, if you're small, and they are small, it's a jolly good way of breaking them.
See? Sometimes they say, as they do it, whoops.
Whoops.
It's nothing like getting an egg between your front claws and then extending your back legs and throwing it and saying, whoops!
I take your word for it.
Yeah, oh, they do, yeah. They all say whoops. Well, most and generally, they say whoops.
Johnny, if we could come on to your own turn now.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, okay.
I'm asking for it.
And you're going to guess it as well.
If we were
in the zoo and went to see capuchins, howlers, titis, and mangabees, which animal house would we be visiting?
Well, you would be going to the monkey house. There you see the capuchin monkeys, the mangabees, and so on. That would be the house that I would say. If they told me to go and look after the capuchins, I wouldn't go to the elephant seals.
No.
No, not really.
Wouldn't blame you. Sheila Anderson, there are 500 left in the Mediterranean, less than 1,000 around Hawaii, and the Caribbean population is almost certainly extinct. What are they?
You're talking about an animal. It sounds like it belongs to a religious order. You're talking about the monk seal. And indeed, the status of the of all three species, well, certainly two of them anyway, if the third is extinct, is very parlous indeed. And particularly the Mediterranean monk seal, which it's very difficult to estimate their numbers, in fact. I mean, 500 is an estimate. There may, in fact, be fewer than that. Mm. It is a very splendid species because it is the only tropical seal. All the others live around the poles or in fairly cool, temperate waters.
There is a theory, of course, that one of the reasons they're becoming extinct, the monk seals, is because there aren't any nun seals.
Oh,
thank you. Yes, I love all of you as well. Thank you. Pam Ayres, of all the trees that are in the wood, this one bears the crown. What is it?
Oh!
Oh, yes.
Holly. Yeah. Well, Holly, my dear.
Ollie, Ollie, Ollie. That's it, yes.
That was an effort. Thank you.
Well, in fact, it does now all depend upon the songs, the Ina Klein and Axe music, which means, of course, I cleaned your nightdress. And we want to... That's right. It's by Johann Sebastian Mozart. And we want you, please, to get the conched out bits of these. And the first one is going to be for Mike. But anybody can join in and sing at the same time. Okay, here we go.
Now Patrick McGinty, an Irishman of note, fell in for a fortune and he bought himself a secret. I'm going to have me fill, but when he brought the nanny home, he found it was a bill. All the young ladies who live in Killaloe, they're all wearing buttons like their mothers used to do. They each wear a bolster beneath their petticoat and leave the rest to Providence and Paddy McGinty's goat.
Yeah, you were saying?
I was going to say Paddy McGinty's goat.
You were absolutely right. Yes, lovely. Yes. We'll go to the far right and to Sheila.
Oh, hot diggity, diggity, boom, what you do to me? It's so new to me. What you do to me? Hot diggity, diggity, boom, what you do to me? When you're holding me tight.
Sheila, it was sung by Perry Como.
Oh, well, the man who went like that all the time.
Yes, yes, yes. You remember, yes. You hot diggity, dog man. Diggity.
He had a
yes.
Pollen. Did he? That's a good reason for going like that all the
right,
time.
Right, it would be great if you go like that.
Well, obviously you were more intimate with him than I was. Johnny, here's a very, very difficult one for you.
What fantastic verve those songs had, didn't they?
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Down at the old man bush.
Yes, Pam.
Yes.
The wonderful thing about is they're wonderful things. Their tops are made out of rubber. Their bottoms are made out of springs. They're bouncy, trouncy, bouncy, bouncy, fun, 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 fun. But the most wonderful thing about is I'm the only one.
I have never heard that song in my entire life.
May I not say this?
And may I say, if I ever hear it again, it'll be too soon.
May I not only shake you by the hand, but also kiss you on both cheeks? I said you wouldn't have heard it. Would anybody of the younger generation know anything about that one? Tiggers, Tiggers.
Oh, Tiggers? Oh, Winnie the Pooh and My Little Boy's not old enough yet. I'm sorry, I failed dismally there.
Oh, that's right. Because James is only, what, about 6 months old? Yes. Okay, well, we've got one here for absolutely everybody. If you'd like to join in this one, it would be rather nice. Okay.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
Oh, yes, okay. Well, that's it. Isn't that tremendous? Well, I've just been told, and this is going to strike some of you speechless, and it certainly astounds me. I have been told that the result today is a tie. Yes, yes. So we'll have to put a tie question. I just wondered, anybody got any ideas? Oh, yes, there's a lady here. Yes? Oh, yes, yes, yes. I'll see. Yes,
Yeah. But what she's saying is, you are a mad, yes, genetic engineer creating life in a test tube. What new plant or animal species would you invent to fulfill a useful purpose on our planet? And she suggests, as an example, that you could cross a rabbit with a jet engine and make a quick buck. Thank you very much indeed, madam. Okay, let's see how the panel does. Mike, have you got any suggestions there?
What I would do would be to cross a footballer with some army ants and then throw in a Highland cow for good luck. Actually, it's of no relevance really to human life or to Scotland, but if there are any military commanders of Banana Republic, hunters listening in, what you would get would be a left-wing military coup.
Well, it can only get better after that one. Sheila.
Now, hang on, I'll get my teeth in and try.
Yes, you shouldn't have taken them out after the second round. Doesn't do them any good. You might just as well leave them in all night as well now.
I'll cross an electric eel with a rabbit for a currant bun.
Oh. Johnny, your turn.
Well, I would like to cross a camel with a hummingbird, a nectar-feeding hummingbird, so that when it did spit, it would spit sweet and not sour.
And finally, Pam.
Yes, I thought you could cross a piece of wet fish with an ostrich feather and get a bit of slap and tickle.
That's brilliant. Okay, it's going to be up to the audience here in the Watershed Theatre to decide between all those. So if you preferred Johnny's and Mike's, would you please do this? And if you preferred Pam's and Sheila's, would you please do this? And how you were able to do that and applaud at the same time, I will never be able to. But thank you. Thank you very much indeed, and a wise choice there from a most sapient audience. So to the winners, many congratulations, and to the losers, and it's goodbye now from Mike Stoddart, Sheila Anderson, Johnny Morris, and Pam Ayres, and goodbye too, of course, from the Conch.